I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello, Mark.
And Joe Branton.
Hello, birthday Mark.
Indeed. That's a good way to kick off. It's my birthday today.
It is your birthday.
Hello to everyone watching live on Amplify. Hello to everyone listening on the podcast. We're going to be having a bit of a fun podcast this week for my birthday. We've all got a bit of booze, which is good. We're going to have a good old fun time. Are you okay, Jay?
I needed to turn everyone down in my mic. My headphones.
Your mouth turns it down in your mic.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, if you could turn me down, everybody's really loud.
Okay, well,
we've not been. Yeah,
this is the first time we've been all back in a room in a little while.
It is.
We're not all in the same room.
This is the first time that we have all live streamed together, right? On Amplifier.
It is.
No, that's not true.
No, we did the test stream.
Yeah, but were we all here?
Yeah. We've done two test streams.
No, Matt wasn't here for the test stream. Because remember, you went out into the other room.
Yeah. No, we haven't done one.
No, but there was a stream after that.
There was a week after that.
We were all here. Anyway, so yeah, thanks for joining us if you're joining us on Amplify. For those of you just listening to it who want to join in the fun every Tuesday night, 8:30 UK time, you can join us ampli.fi/guitar nerds, where we stream the video version of the podcast, and we take questions from the chat and just have a good old hangout in the chat and talk about guitars and stuff. If this is your first time joining us, thanks very much for doing so. And, you know, on Amplify, if you're watching live, there is the opportunity to donate. And as it is my birthday, you know, feel free to donate. You can donate $1, a couple dollars.
What are we donating towards?
Jay bought me a big bottle of gin.
I did.
For my birthday, so maybe that, I think.
I didn't buy you anything.
No, that's because you're not a good friend.
True.
You're a colleague.
True.
I would say more than a friend.
Tenuous colleague.
Yes, indeed. So, it's a big week because it is summer now. So we've got some guitar-related news coming up, some new pedals and some new guitars and stuff. But firstly, we'll just catch up on what we've been doing this week. So, Matt Knight, over to you. What have you been doing this week?
I haven't actually been doing a lot of stuff guitar related. I did do a bit of a live stream yesterday on Facebook and had a few people message me actually being like, that was really good. Thanks for putting that up. I was like, oh.
I saw that.
It was nice to get some feedback.
I caught the first few minutes actually. I saw that you were doing some pedal board stuff, but what did you run through?
I was just purely testing how good the audio quality might be, and had a different tripod this time, so I could get a slightly better view of all things guitar.
Okay.
Because I was using a tiny tripod before and couldn't really see much, so I thought I'd just give it a go, and sort of just been messing around with my amps and, yeah, generally just having... In fact, I had 4 days off, so I actually tried to give myself a break from playing guitar. I went fishing instead. Not too guitar related.
Did you catch any bass...
No, that I could see what you were going for there. Okay. I'm sure there's better fish related puns there.
Oh, it's my birthday. I'm allowed to get away with whatever I like, so there'll be plenty. If you guys think of any fish related puns, do leave them either in the chat or if you guys come up with any fish related guitar puns.
I assure you, I'll continue to think of some. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, Matty, when you were doing your live stream yesterday, what did you play through? What gear were you showing people?
I actually had the full rig plugged in, so all three amps, and it actually sounded all right. I must admit, it'd be nice to try and work out a way that I could try and get a slightly better audio feed, I think, through live video.
Okay.
But the full setup, all the pedal boards, all the amps, and playing my Baja Tele, which I still think is the best guitar I own, despite owning a custom shop
Tele.
I'm totally down
the
with
Baja
it.
The Baja is still the best one.
Really?
Plays the best.
It can't be better than the custom shop Tele.
The Baja is phenomenal.
I just can't deny the fact that that guitar is. It just plays and sounds so nice.
Bajas are great, and I'm sure everyone watching and listening will agree that they're brilliant. But Matt, talk people through the setup of your custom shop Tele.
One pickup, volume, tone, and the tone control actually only works in one position.
Of course.
Seymour Duncan.
You say it's the bridge pickup, so you set it up like an Esquire.
Yeah, so custom shot, Seymour Duncan, custom shot BG1400 stacked single coil, which is the Billy Gibbons signature Seymour Duncan custom build. So there's only three people that work for Seymour Duncan custom shop, I think. So you waiting time's usually like 8 weeks.
Okay.
But my lovely friends near where Joe resides on a daily, on a Monday to Friday basis, managed to sort me out. So yeah, put that in there. Ridiculous output, 30.3k. So you think that's like a normal like Les Paul humbucker is like 8. So you know, like ridiculously
madness.
Powerful. But actually, surprisingly, the more powerful you go, the less top end you get. It's actually a little bit darker sounding. But when you use like bright amps, you kind of don't necessarily notice it as much.
It we've been doing some video stuff, and that's definitely kind of it's been noticeable how like hot that pickup is.
Did you explain the finish of the guitar, Matt Knight?
No, red sparkle, relict red sparkle.
Relict
in fact.
Red sparkle.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Basically, if I had the pickup combination and neck of my Baja on the custom shop, it would be like. In fact, actually, the neck is the same. The Baja neck is the same as my custom shop, but the Baja still is just superior. It I don't know what it is. It's just one of those things. That guitar is just ace.
I've been looking at Bajas recently. I just can't afford. I just can't justify it because they go for like £400-£500 secondhand. I just can't justify it.
Meh. No. Well. I definitely think like if one comes up, the one thing I always thought is like, oh, it'd be cool to have a Bigsby, but then I was like, it will change the sound too much. I don't think people realise how much difference a Bigsby makes to the overall tone of your guitar.
What do you think a Bigsby does to the overall tone?
They definitely sound like much. I know it sounds weird, but they sound like much harsher. They don't sustain in the same way, because the way you string them up and the amount of like. The huge hunk of metal that you end up putting on the end of your guitar makes everything sound like,
as opposed to really... the huge hunk of man playing it.
Yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, that makes the biggest difference to tone.
When Matt
but yeah,
it's
they're like they don't sustain as well either because they're not. I don't know. They just don't resonate in the same way.
Well, I guess you lose the strung through body because they're stringing to the bridge, and they just sound a bit more jangly, don't they? I guess because, like you said, there's a big chunk of metal there that's where the strings are anchored.
And I think a lot of times when the tellies are already that bright, sometimes they can just be like overly harsh.
Yeah.
But I've played a couple of custom shops with Bigsby's, but I think if anything, just why they work so well on the hollow bodies because they're already bassy, they're big, they're airy sounding guitars. So putting a Bigsby on it works really well. But you put it on anything sort of solid body, it's the same as the Les Pauls that I've tried with Bigsby's on. They just don't feel the same.
No,
stick a Floyd Rose on your Les Paul, sorted.
Definitely not. No one wants that. No one wants that.
Who's the signature person?
Alex Lifeson from Rush.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
But the thing I was thinking about is when you have a signature like that, they're like, oh, you know, you played Les Paul for years, you know, what do you want? He's like,
I just want to turn it into not a Les Paul.
I want a Floyd Rose, Powerbridge, Piezo.
Fender scale as well?
No.
Because they've done one of those
recently.
No,
I'm pretty sure it's Gibson scale.
Yeah, it's Gibson scale. But it's like super thin neck and the sculpted heel. And it's like just not like a Les Paul at all. It's more like, you know, like a ESP EC1000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
bring some ideas to the table. What do you want? Oh, I love this ESP. Can you just build that and then stick your name on the end?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Jay Cross, what have you been up to this week?
I have had a couple of band practices.
Come in a bit closer to that mic.
Sorry.
We're using a different microphone for Jay today, so that's why it may sound a little weird on the podcast.
This is a super loud mic because I'm usually really quiet.
No, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah, no. I'm starting a new band. I'm not playing guitar in it. I'm not playing bass in it. I am just singing.
Okay. What's you've talked about this a little bit before.
I have.
What's the vibe?
We're a hardcore band that's just playing really short songs very quickly. It's good. It's fun. The bass player uses one of those Squire... what was it? It's one of the Tele bass. It's like 51 P bass.
Oh, they didn't do a 51. They did a 55
with the humbucker.
The humbucker in the neck.
Yeah.
Oh, so the old. Do you mean the
vintage modified?
Yeah, the vintage modified ones where they're two tone sunburst.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah.
So they were great.
Yeah,
Such a
great
weird
bass.
Thing though, because they put a satin maple neck on them.
Yep.
It was like a really. I mean, I guess vintage modified started off being. That was the idea, was like a vintage instrument with a modern twist. And even though the name's still there, they're pretty much just vintage spec now.
Yeah.
Kind of, they've changed the way they're doing them. But yeah, that was a great bass. And I always felt the only thing I wished it had was a vintage lacquered and like vintage tinted neck. And they just put this weird, like really anemic looking maple.
Well, I guess as much as anything, that was to keep it under that sort of £300.
Well, that's it. It was they were like £250, but what a great bass!
Yeah,
they were. The idea behind those were like kind of like the standard series, like the Squire standard P bass and jazz bass, but with a bit of a twist. Whereas I think classic vibes were more vintage correct.
Yeah,
I guess.
But there's, which is why there's a little difference. I mean, look at like the vintage modified 77 jazz bass.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a 70. It's a black jazz bass with a maple neck with pearl block in it. That's just
vintage. They are
correct.
Now, though. That's the thing. But again, it's that, you know, I think there's quite a price difference, I think, between vintage modified and classic vibe.
There's about 100. Well, I guess classic vibe stuff now, certainly on the bass front, is like 450.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
So it's a lot of money, it is, because it's not too far from Mexican Fender. But as we've said time and time again on this, if you were going to buy a Mexican standard Fender anything, buy a Squire Classic Vibe.
I think that's that's kind of why they put the price up a bit, is because everyone's just like, oh, we'll just get one of these instead of Mexican standards.
Yeah,
Have the guitars gone the same way? The vintage
price
modified?
Wise.
Well, more style-wise, I guess, because Vint Mods took a real upgrade in the bass front. From that one, I think that's like the best example.
Yeah.
But they took a big upgrade.
Vintage modified guitars have kind of stayed with that more experimental, because things like the Hot Rail Strat and stuff, I think, were in the vintage modified. Is that right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. The Dan Electro style Stratocaster.
No. Not lipstick pickups. The Hot Rails.
They were. Yeah, they were vintage.
Oh,
what,
sorry,
weren't they,
Matty? I know what you mean.
Are they in the Vintmod range?
They were in. No, that. The Hot Rails, bizarrely, was in the old Deluxe range.
Oh, yeah, it was. Mm. Yeah. Sure.
The Vin Mods, I think, had the lipstick pickup ones. Has that wicked 70s Strat in black with the black plate.
Yeah, basically
a Squire Gilmore Strat, which is quite cool. And then, I suppose you're into classic vibe after that. It's weird, isn't it? Because they've quite a few different ranges that sort of all sort of blend into one another.
Totally.
There are quite a few Vint Mods tellies, aren't there? Because don't you have like a... Didn't they do a 72 telly? And they've also done like a a vintage blonde telly. And butterscotch telly.
In the Vint Mod or in
yeah,
the...
Yeah, that's Vint Mod, isn't it?
In the Vint Mod, there was a... I can't remember offhand. It's been a year.
So you've been away from these guitars for a long time.
Yeah. But I thought in classic vibe you could get a thin line telly, but in vintage modified you could get the, is it 72, where you've got a humbucker in the neck and still
that's
the telly
right, exactly.
Pickup.
Yeah, classic vibes were deluxes and, oh no, they never did a deluxe, did they? It was custom.
Yeah,
they did. Or did they do a deluxe? A two humbucker version.
They did a two humbucker
they
version.
They did. They also did a two P90 version as well, if I'm
But that
not mistaken, Matthew.
Was something completely different. That was in the standard series. This
really?
Is, I mean, you can hear
this
that
is where
we're
Squire,
getting,
yeah, Squire
we're
overlaps.
Getting, yeah, like we're getting confused and we know about all this
yeah,
stuff.
The artist series overlaps as well. Like on basses, you have the classic vibe jazz bass, which you can get in Inca Silver with a matching headstock.
Yeah.
But in the artist series, you can get the James
Johnston,
who's the bass player from Biffy Clyro, and he has exactly that model, like exactly the same pickup, same bridge, matching headstock, but instead of Inca Silver, it's Lake Placid Blue. And there's the same thing.
Is it?
Same, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
And same thing.
It's the Strat that's red, and it's the late yeah, bassist, bassist, bassist bloke.
Sam, is it Sam Neill? Simon Neill?
Simon Neill.
Who's Sam Neill?
So he's Sam the guy from Jurassic Park. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why he doesn't have a signature strat. He definitely should. He's more deserving than Simon Neill.
Dinosaur scientist sure. and frontman of Britain's biggest indie band.
He's also yeah. in Peaky Blinders.
Is he? Okay, he is. I've not seen that yet.
Simon. Which one? Simon or Sam?
Simon Neill.
Oh. No, Sam Neill. Okay. Sam Neill was in Peaky Blinders.
What about Neil Simon?
No, you're thinking of Paul Simon.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Simon Neill has got has an artist model which is basically like classic vibe spec. It's essentially a Fender 50s Strat in Fiesta Red.
Yes.
It's 60 Strat.
So rosewood board and like
kind Fiesta of Red.
Oh, but his isn't rosewood board.
Yes, it is.
It's a maple now.
Yeah. No, rosewood.
Is
no,
it?
It's rosewood.
Yeah. You sure?
Yeah, 60s, like a 62 yeah. Strat.
Okay.
And, in the vintage modified range, there is actually... Yeah, less than you think. In the telly range, there is only three tellies: a custom, a deluxe, and a thin line.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So thin line, two humbuckers.
That was the weird thing about the thin line that they put out was it looked exactly the same as the one they were doing in the Mexican Fender series. Like they put it out in the same natural wood finish.
Yeah.
And it was. And then that was just a bit weird to have like a £300 price difference between two instruments that looked absolutely identical.
Very, very similar. Yeah. Well, you know, as we can see just from this discussion, there's kind of loads of crossover, even right up to that price point. You know, a lot of people would take a classic vibe telly over a Mexican standard telly, so that it really does cross over all the way up. Joe Branton, you've been doing something very interesting this week.
Did we finish J Cross's hardcore?
More or less.
Yeah. I'd sort of just usurped right. it when you
that's
mentioned
kind of
the
point,
bass.
That's kind of the point, though, isn't it?
Did you ever talk about what the guitar player is playing?
He's playing a J Maskis.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool.
So isn't the J Maskis a Squire?
The Squire one.
The Squire one.
Hey, yeah.
Nice.
Not the purple one.
Not the purple one.
The Squire version, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is Olympic white with a gold anodized scratch plate, which looks incredible.
Is it Olympic white?
I thought it was Olympic white, is it not?
No, it's...
I think it's vintage,
vintage white.
Vintage white, so the yellowed white.
Yeah.
I think it looks rather nice
with
indeed.
With anodized gold.
So he's using single coils in a hardcore band.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, interesting choice.
It's that into a PV Valve King.
Okay.
It's really noisy.
Okay,
and
he's
got like a PV Valve King?
Yeah.
That's punk, isn't it?
He's got a Joyo... like one of those green, like basically a Joyo tube screamer.
Okay.
It's like the anti-rig.
It's so, if it wasn't for the fact that we don't stop playing,
you'd hear a lot of noise.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also going to take my Les Paul just in case he breaks a string or something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but
not taking your telly. I'd have thought your telly was a more obvious replacement.
No, I think the Les Paul.
Fair enough.
The Les Paul Junior.
Ah, the Junior.
Yeah,
punk.
V90s, isn't it?
V-Punk, basically.
Turbo so,
punk.
So we'll see.
When's the gig? Where is it?
It's a week today, so I will be on the podcast.
But you're going to come... We're going to leave a mic open for you, and you're going to come bursting through the door.
I am.
Next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they're actually... what's the... Matty, you might know this, actually. What's the... Because the show is only... It's only about 10 blocks away. What's the
10 blocks?
Wireless system with the longest reach? Do you reckon a Line 6 G700 will reach here? Do you reckon I could do the gig from here?
I think G90 is the... Is that the...
I mean, we may have some problems syncing you up. So you may have to watch the stream and then you'll contribute about 30 seconds later from the gig.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll do the vocals from here. I'll link it up to Sticky Mike.
Oh, I see what you mean. So you'll be here doing the gig.
I'm not actually going to do that.
You should do that. That'd be good.
So I'm going to come in halfway through. Going to come in about halfway through.
Good.
Next week.
It'd be interesting to see if we can make that work.
What you could do is get a wireless system. Then that goes to the receiver. Then you output the audio of that into a speaker that then is hooked up to another wireless system, which then transmits the audio to another receiver. And then just chain them all along until you get to the venue.
I think that'll sound really good.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Really high quality.
Definitely. That's the way to do it. I hear if you set up a load of speakers down Brighton Seafront, they're definitely not going to get vandalised by the time you get to your destination. So it's fine. And where's the power coming from? Solar power.
That's it.
solar power.
The show's at night.
Talking about solar power, Joe Branton, your shirt this week is phenomenal.
Check this out. This is pretty blow.
Where can you buy shirts like that these days?
I got this one in H&M for $9.99.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
I was really happy with that. I've been looking around for a Hawaiian shirt to, you know, for the summer and that.
Okay.
And now I've got one.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. I mean, it looks great.
Thanks very much, man.
Good. Good. Summer vibes. You've been doing some fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To match the equally fun shirt you're wearing.
Absolutely. Yesterday, I got to meet the incredible and legendary Doug Wimbish.
Sir Douglas of Wimbish.
Sir Douglas of Wimbish.
Good.
He was absolutely amazing. So, so you can watch me meet him on YouTube on my works channel.
We can say it.
Yeah, yeah. You can go onto Gak's channel and onto their YouTube channel, onto Gak Vision, and watch me interview Doug Wimbish of Living Colour, amongst other things. Tackhead, he was the bass player for the Sugar Hill Gang band.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's right. For the bulk of their stuff, yeah. He the only track that really he wasn't on was Rapper's Delight. Yeah.
Of course,
but he's gutted about it. He said, but yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. He's in loads of things. He was the second Rolling Stones bass player.
Yeah, I knew that.
So yeah, he's done loads of stuff, and he was the soundest, loveliest fella, as I'm sure the video will come across. So we did two videos with him. I did one because he was down for a reason, because he's got a new product that
he didn't just pop in.
Pretty cool. No, and then I did a second video with him where
I've
just
seen you on the YouTube.
Yeah, that was how it was.
Just wanted to come over and meet you,
but. He was so good. I was so square in comparison. Like, you just have to watch the start of the video where I'm like, "Oh, hello everyone. I'm here with the legendary Doug Wimbish," and he's like, "Joe, my man, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you." He just talked like that the whole time.
Good.
And I was warned by Ashdown in advance that like all you have to do is put Doug in a direction and he can just talk about anything.
Good.
And sure enough, like, he had so many cool, awesome, interesting stories. It was a struggle to sort of get everything he said down into a YouTube worthy amount of footage.
I like what you were saying earlier before we started streaming about his tuning ritual.
Oh yeah, he just doesn't care. So I've got the new Boss app. So Boss, this is actually a point, because this has only just happened, so you might not be aware. We should have put it in our news articles.
We should.
You didn't.
Sorry.
But Boss have released this, which is their TU3. Obviously, listeners, you can't see this because
Jay's going,
not looking at anything.
I mean, it still doesn't look great, and it's affecting the...
Fine. Yeah. Okay, so Boss have released their TU3 as a tuner app. What a great idea. It's really good. But anyway, after Doug had done a bit of demoing, he was playing this bit where just randomly, and this is all in the video, he just started like detuning his strings as he was playing and then working the new detuned strings into the
sort
riff.
Almost like, it kind of had like nu metal DJ kind of effect.
Yeah.
Like, it was doing like as if they'd put the hand on the record to slow it down type thing, because he was just kind of turning that low E string.
He had so many cool tricks like that.
Yeah.
There's so much extra footage that we didn't put in the video of like his weird little interesting tricks that he had. But he did, after he'd done that, I sort of gave him the tuner so that he could tune back up. And he sort of gave up. Like, after a while, he sort of started tuning, and then, like, and I could see that it was like almost a semitone out. And he was like, good enough for rock and roll. That was all he said. Carried on, did the rest of the demo. He was like, I bend all my strings anyway.
I mean, if after that he did that same thing again, where he was just turning the strings randomly to create that effect, I'm sure it didn't matter whether he was in tune or not.
Well, but he was brilliant.
From the video that you showed me, because his playing is so percussive,
yeah,
you kind of can't really hear the pitch of it anyway, because
It's
just all that.
Yeah, he does a lot of interesting. He's got a lot of weird, interesting styles. He has this circular piece of glass that he uses to that he slides on the. He doesn't use it as a slide in your left hand if you're a right-handed guitarist. He uses it in his right hand to drag across the strings, and he will do it on his higher two strings, his D and his G, whilst he frets notes on the E and A to sort of create weird sound effects.
Did he do that in the video?
Yeah, yeah, he does that a bit. Yeah,
I'm definitely going
to
watch that.
It's great. It's really, his playing is really interesting, and I have to say, there's like, I knew he was an incredible player, like I know that Billy Sheehan is an incredible player, but there was a real difference between like seeing him nail stuff in videos to actually being sat quite awkwardly.
You were like, just next there, like, I'm not as good as this.
Well, because when we were filming, I was like, I sort of did a bit where I was like, okay, now we're going to hear a bit of Doug playing. And Doug was like, oh, right, okay. And I was expecting we'd cut and I'd like walk off and like he'd just play. But he just started playing. So
you couldn't, there's no.
I was sort of like, in fact, here's the note, find the video and check out the moment, because the guy who edits our videos was like, the moment is incredible.
The moment that you realise that you can't leave,
I can't
you
leave.
Can't walk away from
it's
the table.
It's priceless. They have sent me cuts of the 3 seconds where I go to get up, sort of drop out of character of being all presentery, and then realise that I have to stay here, and I'm a bit like this.
You can't see that on the audio podcast.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, audio podcast.
What that is?
Joe's face was disgruntled, mildly confused, even, and you looked a bit
worried.
Like Wallace from Wallace and Gromit.
Thanks. Yeah, it was worrying.
Just before we move on, have you done anything different with the sound setup this week?
No, why?
Because it keeps dropping out. Apparently, video is absolutely fine, but sound dropping out.
No, not at all.
Apparently there's like long gaps.
That is weird because audio is going in fine.
Huh.
So
I wonder if that is an amplify issue.
Is multiple people saying that?
Yeah, a few people have said it.
How weird. Well, it's going in and it seems to be streaming okay. So
the stream dropped out for me a couple of times. I don't know. I guess we'll just go on. I mean, it's all recording, isn't it?
It's all recording. Yeah. So we should...
Yeah, hopefully. If people can keep us in the loop, that'd be ace. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it'll sort itself out. Gremlins in the system and all that. Anyway, so this week, my mate... I've been on holiday. Obviously, I wasn't here last week. So, spent some, you know, time... actually on holiday, which was nice. You guys seem to hold the fort okay.
Just about.
Well, I haven't listened to any of it yet. I'm sure you said nice things about me.
We did, actually.
If you're watching on the stream, I'm sure if you watched last week, you'll be able to confirm that is true or not. Let me know what they said about me, because I'm definitely not going to listen to it. So, what we did do before we went away is we filmed loads and loads of video demos with Matt Knight doing some playing, his pedal of the week. And
not Matt's phone,
his
really?
Phone going.
Oh, Matt Knight.
That was actually a reminder to post on the Guitar Nerds Instagram. So
right. So you've been
four times a day. You know, you got to keep this. You got to keep it regular.
Yeah, definitely, know. Definitely.
Does that mean that your calendar on your phone is just full, or does it just is it an alarm that goes off?
It's an alarm that goes off four times a day.
It's not a reminder. Then.
That is dedication.
Have you thought about downloading the app that I told you to download so you don't have to do that?
Don't give away the magic.
No. Don't spoil it.
I was busy and or ill. Actually, I kind of like the work. You know, it sort of makes me feel like I'm earning it.
Yeah, well done.
Protect the business.
Because of all that pay that I get.
Yeah, yeah, but Guitar Nerds is paying big. You know, it is my birthday, so if you're watching
he'll
on Amplify, feel free to donate in the Amplify chat.
That's right.
So, this week, so Matt was around and we did some Pedal of the Week videos, did some really interesting stuff, a whole bunch of stuff from Seymour Duncan, what else did we do, a couple of cast engineering pedals, the Pulse Drive and the Texas Flood.
Yeah.
What else did we do, Matt? Oh, we did the Empress tape delay.
Yeah. We spoke about all of this last week.
Did we?
Well,
you guys did.
We did.
Fine. Well, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me what you did. Well, but what I was going to say...
We talked about this last week.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay. Good to know. Good. I won't talk about it this week.
Okay, cool.
Fine. So, the other side of my holiday, I've come back and done a lot of video editing. And
hot rocking.
Indeed.
What a man.
What I will say is that this is the first time, and I don't know if you talked about this... It's the first time that we used the Two Notes recording setup.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
Didn't we? I feel like maybe we did.
We probably briefly touched
on
it.
Yeah.
So the nice people at Two Notes basically sent us the... What's it called?
The Le Clean program.
And it is absolutely phenomenal. And I've noticed it the most, obviously, when editing the videos, because before we were having some audio issues and getting a decent kind of clean tone. But using this preamp, it's so good. It sounds like a really good recorded guitar amp. Mm-hmm. So we've got that going into the...
It made such a huge difference.
It totally did. We've got that going into the Two Notes Torpedo Cab, which is the cab simulation box. So it's a really nice mix of a dedicated preamp and a dedicated amp modelling, speaker modelling box. And I think we were using the kind of crunch sound on the Laclean. It wasn't totally clean going in. And then, Matt, can you remember, was it like a Fender cab or a Marshall cab?
I think we ended up settling on a Marshall like 4x12 and like an EL34 power amp.
Yes.
And then, yeah, slightly crunchy, because actually the super clean channel almost sounded too clean. It sounded like almost a little bit...
It was too thin,
like,
basically.
Yeah,
too
sterile, thin. I suppose.
Well, we thought, wasn't it? It was really mid-heavy, didn't we think?
It was, yeah. I think the combination of that and the nice cab that we'd chosen just didn't really work.
I think it was more that we needed a blank palette guitar,
yes.
And Matt turned up with his custom shop Tele with the highest output pickup of all time in history. Probably the worst guitar to try and do any sort of demos
of
pedals.
I thought it sounded great.
It did sound great in the end because we managed to cater for it. No, had you brought a Baja,
having
we
said
would have
that,
had no
so
problems.
Going back and doing the edit... what's cool about that guitar is that, yes, it's single coils, but because it's so high output, or it's a single coil, I should say, because it's so high output, it's really comes across amazingly on the pedals that have got a bit more gain to them, and just sounds like really thick, whereas a Tele can normally sound a bit wiry with gain pedals. Mm-hmm. And I know we had the Les Paul there, but it has actually made a massive difference to just have that Tele and have that clarity, but also have a bit of kind of oomph to it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And... like you were saying, Matt, it's coil tappable as well, so it means that for a couple of pedals where we needed a much cleaner sound, just pull that coil tap and it works beautifully. Been editing
coil
those
split, not coil tap.
No, coil tap.
Is
not
it
coil
a tap?
Yep.
Is it
exactly? It's not splitting the coil because it's not a humbucker.
Oh yeah.
It's a single coil.
Sorry.
So it's tapping.
Apologies.
It. So those videos are sounding great, and they're going to be released every Friday on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So
we'll
put up the competition for the Clisonic Lucid Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great sounding fuzz. Really kind of...
permanently on my home pedal board at the moment.
Oh, really? Well. Nice to know. I mean, that someone, when they win it, they'll get a nice used one with some Joe Branton foot...
It's really good.
Guff.
Sock guff on there.
No, actually, I think I swapped it out for the Golden Brownie.
Okay, which is also a real nice pedal.
Yeah, that was a great
again
pedal.
Also one that's got to go back, so treat them well, you know.
Yeah, yeah, they're fine.
So,
I tell you what, I did notice that the guys that the Clisonic Twitter account is looking a little bit lonely at the moment. It's not that many followers.
Yeah.
I do feel like if you're on Twitter, you should go and you should go and follow the Clisonic, because they've got a lot of really cool stuff at the moment, and I think I got the impression some more stuff on the route.
Yep, definitely.
And they seem really cool as well. They seem really grateful for the video and stuff, so yeah.
And it was a great pedal. It was a great looking pedal and sounding pedal. It even came in an amazing box.
The box is massive.
The box is probably the size of like an A4 piece of paper. The pedal is
really weird.
Very small. Sorry for this.
Did you? I can't remember. Was there? I think there were some guitar picks in there as well, which is a nice little touch.
Were
some
there?
Clisonic
there
picks.
There are, not now.
Good. I'm glad you've lost those. Well done. Well done. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I mean, it wouldn't have been him. He didn't use them. You didn't use picks, did you?
No, but he is very good at losing things.
That's true.
And is also a bit of an idiot.
That's true.
So they've probably gone walkies. Anyway, so that's been my guitar stuff this week. I've not actually played any guitar, but I've been listening to a lot of Matt playing guitar, and some awesome pedals. The Seymour Duncan Vapor Trail is quickly becoming my favourite delay.
I tell you what, Seymour Duncan.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A real company.
They're a real company.
It's just people. A company that you just don't expect to do good pedals, because it's like, okay, great, wow, they make pickups. Like, you wouldn't buy an EMG pedal, would you?
But this is the thing, their pickups are good, but like, because boutique companies have come up so much on the pickup front, they're sort of almost become how we think of Boss is quite standard.
Pedals are like definitely more of their business now than it was before.
Yeah, hugely. Yeah. I'm really surprised that they've released some that aren't just like the Vapor Trails and the 805. That's one of the best examples of what they are. One of the best Tube Screamer clones and one of the best analog delays on the market.
Yeah.
And they're made by a pickup company.
They're very, very good. Mental. Very good. Demo's coming soon. Anyway, shall we do some news?
Nude swimmers.
Lots of news this week, even though Summer NAMM has not started yet. Kicks off on Thursday, is that right?
That's correct, Thursday.
And we're recording this on Tuesday. But some cool stuff has come out, so let's dive straight in. First up, Magnetic Effects introduce the Solar Bender. Matt Knight, have you got some details?
I have. It's actually Solar second Bender. Variation. I've got a feeling that this... one of the first pedals that they actually made. So Magnetic Effects, the awesome builders of the White Atom, which was one of our favourite sort of fuzz pedals.
Oh, it's such and, a good fuzz.
The Satellite.
My favourite fuzz pedal ever.
Yeah. Mm, that mixture good. Of sort of germanium and silicon transistors that you can sort of blend between for sort of super unique fuzz was awesome. And this Solar Bender is based on the Tone Bender. Now, I thought... I should probably be like, just find out a bit more history about the Tone Bender, because I'm like, I'm sure I've heard it, like, so many people say, oh, it's a Tone Bender in a box. And I was just actually reading that the guy designed the Tone Bender circuit and then sold it to Vox, Marshall and Rotosound, who then all built their own fuzz pedals, all in different names, but are actually all the same pedal inside. So the Tone Bender, the Marshall Super Fuzz, and the Rotosound Fuzz Box are actually all just Tone Benders.
What was that fella's name? Because we did a video on it. We did like the history of fuzz in 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And
the guy's name, Gary Hurst.
Yes, that's the one. The guy's name. And he, I believe, also oversaw the remake that Rotosound did a few years ago.
He did. Yes. He basically built the original Tone Bender. Then he built a second design, which then Arbiter then made the fuzz face out of. And then they brought out a newer version, which they made until about 1972.
Yeah.
And then that was sort of it, really. But yeah, I mean, kind of like the fuzz that everything sort of ever been based on. And I think the main difference with this one is that it's got a controllable bias, which you don't normally have. I think the old version had the selector switch. So level, tone and attack, and then the bias control as well. Adjusted for sort of modern pedal boards, so it takes buffers much better, because old fuzz pedals need to be the first thing in the signal chain. It needs to be the first thing that your guitar pickups see. So this can be placed anywhere in the signal chain and you'll still get a good sound out of it. And set for normal 9-volt, which a lot of old pedals aren't. So yeah, like sort of modern, you know, top mounted jacks, which I think is something that we're seeing a lot more on pedal designs, because it fits on your pedal board better. And yeah, everything from kind of like super thick fuzz to sort of something a little bit more sort of low gain and like slightly crunchy, I suppose, is the way to put it. But the good thing about the Tone Benders is they go super saturated, which
yes,
is always a really nice thing, without being like too boxy like Big Muffs, and they can be so like mid scooped you almost don't cut through, where these, you know, are just kind of work with your guitar so nicely.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to hearing it, basically, because Magnetic haven't done anything yet that I haven't liked, so it'll be cool to see what they can do with, you know, their take on a really traditional circuit. So super interested to see. Next up,
Hopefully we'll do some demos, man.
We should talk about, it's not actually on this list, but a big thing that got announced today, the new Boss Wazacraft chorus.
The CE2W.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
CE or CH?
CE2W. Matt, do you want to give us the rundown and then we'll have a chat about it?
Why Matt?
Because Matt knows about it more than you do. He knows about everything more than you do.
No, fine.
Including dressing well and personal hygiene.
This shirt is excellent.
I think excellent is not the word I would have used, but I'll tell you what is excellent. This pedal is excellent.
Excellent segue.
Oh my god, it really is.
Excellent. Yeah. So Boss C2W. Yeah, the first Wazacraft pedal to actually all be made in Japan. Because the early ones, although designed in Japan, use slightly different components, are still built in the same factory as the other ones. So this one's all hand-built in Japan. And what's different compared to the other Wazacraft ones is it doesn't have a standard and a custom mode. It has the classic CE2 mode circuit, and then the other side is CE1 chorus and CE1 vibrato. So CE1 being the first floor pedal chorus, which was the chorus sound they took from the old Roland jazz amps. So, yeah, a kind of slightly different, all analog. I mean, watching the video demos, it sounds amazing. And I suppose it's good that Roland are sort of listening to kind of what people are after with that, because the original CE pedals are, like, ridiculously massive. They don't fit on any pedal boards. They're 40 years old, and they cost £500 second hand. So it's kind of like... And the circuits are relatively small. They'll fit in those sort of pedals anyway. So I think there's very little that they've had to change to kind of get the original circuit in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny though, because you say it's really nice that Roland are listening to what people want and are producing it. But we've been saying that for like the last 3 years. Do you know what I mean? They're just doing it again. You know, it's not anything new anymore. They're just consistently reliable.
I mean, they haven't put out a kind of bad product for a while. They've put out some stuff that is perhaps isn't particularly interesting to us, but
yeah.
They haven't, for example, put out, you know, like a drive that doesn't sound very good.
The vocoder.
That's true, but I just think that's not for us. I don't think it's bad. I think it's probably just
it's not very relevant.
I still want to try one, actually. I haven't actually tried one yet.
We need to get one. If anyone from...
We should get one.
Jay from Boss was watching earlier. I don't know if he's still there.
Okay. Well, if we can get one over, that'd be great. And we should do a demo. What I want to see is Joe Branton doing funny voices while we play songs on the guitar.
Vocoder.
Indeed. Just say vocoder over and over again.
Vocoder.
I hear that's a very good way of testing it.
There was this band from Japan that me and Mark saw a few times, like 10 years ago or so, called Polysix, and they did a really good cover of My Sharona using a vocoder. And
My vocoder.
And it was so good. So maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do a vocoder version of another song that rhymes with vocoder.
I mean, that sounds great.
My pagoda.
My Anna Vocoder by Nicki Minaj.
Don't want none unless you've got
a vocoder.
Hun. That doesn't really work, does it?
No.
Yes, so the Boss CE2W, I think we're all quite excited to hear it. And
yeah,
glad
I kind of want one.
A CE2 and a CE1.
All in one.
All in one tiny little box.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Again, that's kind of a really nice way to do it. Because what they've been doing on the other Waza stuff is doing the original sound and a kind of new version of it, what they call the custom mode. Whereas this is taking two classic sounds and putting it in one box, which I think is
great.
It's
really
good. Great.
Well, three.
Oh, yeah, cool. Sorry, three classic sounds and putting it all in one box. Indeed. So, good stuff. Okay, next up, 323 Effects released the Timber Overdrive pedal, or the Timbers Overdrive pedal. I don't know anything about 323 Effects, Matt. One that you've come across before?
Are they from Portland?
No, they're
from Portland.
But everyone's from Portland. All the pedals are from Portland somewhere.
Portland, Oregon.
It's not actually, there's a couple of brands that were on the news that are sort of brands I've never heard of, which is, it's kind of what we've been saying for a long time. It's just like, there's so many brands, it's just getting ridiculous. No, I think, I've said here, I've seen somewhere, it's sort of Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, probably nothing like the Birmingham in the United Kingdom.
I very much doubt that.
I mean, so... four controlled EQ, bass treble, clipping, toggle control, sort of low gain to high gain drive, $130. But all hand-built in America.
That sounds neat. Price-wise, sounds good.
Yeah. $130, so about 100 quid.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's based off anything. It doesn't sort of tend to say. But yeah, sort of newish sort of effects company to me. So I'll definitely be checking a few more of those out. I'm just trying to... Yeah, their website sort of looks... In fact, I think that's... No, they've got the Steel City and the Ram's Head. Well, we all know what the Ram's Head's going to sound
like. Yes, indeed. Cool.
That sounds good. They look kind
of
cool.
We'll have to do some investigating, see if we can get some over for a pedal of the week, and you can have a playthrough, Matty, and give us a good idea of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So one of the press releases for Summernown that came through this week that I was kind of impressed by, a company that I've not heard before, but doing a couple of really neat things. Outlaw Effects.
Oh, that's a solid name.
Indeed. Two new pedals and two new power supplies. So the Lasso Looper, the Six Shooter 2 Tuner, and the Kerosene and Iron Horse.
Yes, I have checked these out.
Everything has an outlawed, a Wild West themed name.
Whoa, sorry. How is aeroplane fuel cowboy related?
Kerosene?
Yeah.
Isn't that something to do with...
Cowboys drink, isn't it?
Yeah, no, drink.
They're always like shooting like oil lamps filled with kerosene in movies.
Oh, right. Put it in oil lamps and that. Okay. I don't know, Matt just said that.
Do you not watch movies?
No, oh, sorry, man.
Not cowboy movies. So let's talk about these quickly.
Wild West.
Joe Branton, you saw this.
Oh yeah. I just saw that they were. I'm sure Matt Knight knows more than me. But yeah, they do look proper interesting. I was really into the power supplies because the power supplies look very good. I like the idea. What was the name of the power supply?
The kerosene and the other one.
Iron Horse.
The Iron Horse.
I think it was the kerosene I was looking at, which was an 9 volt input, but four on each side.
Yep.
Which was quite interesting, which just seems so sensible because so many people are mounting power supplies on the underside of your pedal board now that actually having to mount them in the top corner is a bit of a nightmare because you have to buy longer patch cables to get to the other side of your board. So having something that can just be mounted in the middle and can go out to a few things in different directions just seemed quite sensible. And it's really tiny and has a good amount, a solid level of milliampage and everything. It just seemed like a great... Oh, and the price. It was something like $85.
Yes. Worth mentioning that all of these are super cheap for what you get.
So I'm really into the power supply. The power supply seemed like a great, small, versatile alternative to anything. Actually, I think, because you sent through, I think, the press release to all of us.
I did, and I think you did nothing with it.
No, I read it.
Good.
I read it. I was just busy. But when I was reading it, literally at that time, one of the fellows I sit next to in the office was asking about, like, he needed a power supply for just a few pedals and some vocal things. And it's like this is literally it. This is now the best thing on the market because it's $85, and it doesn't if for anyone who doesn't need any 12 or 15 volt inputs and doesn't need isolated power supplies, this is 8 inputs. The 9 volt, it's got enough milliampage to handle anything you're going to put through it, and it's $85.
The only downside is that they're not isolated outputs.
Is that a downside?
Well, Matt, what's the thinking on that at the moment?
I mean, it's difficult because I think some pedals will happily like play along with others, but if you're using electro-harmonic pedals, for example, and the power supplies aren't isolated, they're just noisy. And there's some pedals out there that are just really noisy. Like we had powering the Laclean, noticed that with the power supply they've included, I don't think it's like a particularly well isolated power supply and causes like a bit of noise. And I think that's the thing, is I think you could probably plug a load of pedals in and never have any problems. And I often say that to people at work. I'm like, you could buy a non-isolated power supply and maybe plug 5 pedals in and never have an issue, but as soon as you take it to somewhere different, or you plug a different pedal in, or you know, you're plugging it in line with an amplifier, not being isolated just means that you've got no kind of barrier between yourself, the power, and the kind of the noise, really.
Yeah.
And I think there's no way to get rid of it, you know. But it's a way that you keep down costs.
Yes.
You know, not everyone's going to spend 300 quid on a power supply. So,
no.
You know. But that's, I mean, that's why I really rate the Fuel Tank Junior, because I think they're sub 100 quid. I think they're 89 quid, and that's five isolated outputs.
Yeah, they're neat. T-Rex have really kind of gone for a high level of quality at a totally affordable price.
Which is strange, because the standard fuel tank.
Fuel
is
trank.
The fuel trank. The standard
Sounds
fuel
like
tank.
Been tranked.
Yes, thank you. I have. The standard fuel tank isn't actually all that. It hasn't really stood the test of time in comparison to.
It's an old product, though, really, the fuel tank. It's been out for a long
time. Very old product now. It's probably like at least 8-9 years old.
Yeah, definitely.
Fuel tank.
Definitely. Let's do one more bit of news, because we need to do some questions from the Amplify chat, if there are some, Jay, I would imagine.
You did miss something on the list.
I've missed a few things, but there's some. We're getting close to an hour, so.
We should probably do questions.
There's not been that much come through. I think there's just been a bit of an issue with the stream. There's a couple of people have said that it's been cutting in and out and can't interact here and there, so
weird.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, but, if you've got questions and you are watching live, submit them now. So we're gonna do one last bit of news and then we'll dive into questions.
But there's some people in there saying hello and stuff, so
cool.
Nick and Drumming for Jesus has just jumped in,
cool,
and Eddie Lolland is there as well,
cool,
so,
well if you've got things that you want us to talk about, let us know in the stream. If not, we're still doing questions from Facebook, but
so I've got a question as well, which is on my phone.
On a text message.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can do that in a minute. So, first up, let's do the last bit of news.
Last up.
First.
I have a piece of news that we need to include as well.
Okay.
It was secret news, but you go first.
Is it news that you're allowed to talk
about?
Yeah. Okay, sure?
Yeah, I'm absolutely
okay,
sure.
Okay, good. I'm a bit worried.
Is it the shirt?
No, it's good news.
Okay.
You go with your news.
I'm a little worried. Okay, so first up, ESP Guitars unveils the Bill Kelleher signature model. Now, Bill Kelleher
is a Gibson endorsee,
right? Wasn't he like 6 months ago a Gibson endorsee? So Matt Knight, what have you you've been reading about this, right? What's the the score?
2 years ago they bought out his Les Paul.
Two years ago
was when the
what
I never know how you pronounce it, the Pelican Halcyon. Is it Helicon? It's not Helicon. There's no
E
in it.
I don't know. Helicon. Let's go with Helicon.
The Bill Kelleher signature.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he is raking in the signature stuff at the moment, because he's also got the signature Friedman amp coming out, which is like £3,700, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, didn't he also have a signature Flying V, and he's got the Epiphone? No, Brent Hines has got the Epiphone.
Yes.
Also from Mastodon, yeah. I think he's just joined ESP. I'm assuming Gibson have gone, well, we've done it now, so.
There's that thing, isn't there? Gibson really hate Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, and he was in Game of Thrones. Big soz, Bill.
They made a big deal out of it. Game of Thrones loses their
Lannisters.
Gibson.
That's the problem.
They have
Gibson
an issue.
Are the Lannisters?
Let's not go down this route. I think that's a very bad route to go down. So that's cool. So what's the spec, Matt?
So they basically are doing a cheaper LTD. The BK600 comes in military green sunburst satin.
Oh my
course. Isn't that the colour of your shirt, Joe?
Something like that, yes.
It's sort of, I suppose, if you know, Custom Shop do an aged silver burst, I think that's sort of what they've gone for, but then kind of added a bit too much green.
By mistake. But
by mistake. But it looks cool. No pricing yet, because I don't think they're going to be here right till the end of the year.
Okay.
But both have got his signature. I think the cheaper ones have got like designed by, but the more expensive ones got hit like Custom Shop Lacenter pickups in it, the Dissonant Aggressor.
Isn't that the name of your shirt?
that's the worst name for a pickup ever, though.
That's really bad.
The Passive Aggressor.
So I don't know, they kind of look cool. The cheaper ones, no sort of belly cuts, like slab body, and then the more expensive ones sort of a slightly more carved version, but I think they'll both be quite nice, because I'm still unsure about this kind of ESP sort of ranging now, because it's E2 ESP LTD
yeah
and Custom Shop ESP, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
B But yeah, I'd imagine LTD one's probably going to be 600, other one's probably going to be about 1100. But like I said, no solid pricing as of yet.
No pricing yet. Okay, well, that's obviously, there's going to be loads more news. Joe Brand's got some secret
there
news.
There is some secret news.
I hope this doesn't involve you. I mean, I sort of hope it does.
Well, you, boys and girls, have you ever heard of the word embargo?
Okay, are you about to break something?
No, no,
please don't break an embargo.
No, it's completely fine. So, speaking of ESP, you're so worried.
I'm a bit worried.
You're so worried. It's your birthday.
I'm a bit worried.
I'm breaking an embargo when, for your birthday.
Because when we record this, I can edit this out. But when we do it live,
it's you can't do anything.
Please don't break
it.
An embargo.
I'm not.
Good.
I'm not. We were told that we could say this.
Okay.
ESP have announced. Matt, you should know about this as well if your company's worth more than Toffee. But you should know about this. ESP have announced that they are making an extremely limited quantity. There hasn't even been a price announced for this. An ESP LTD 30th anniversary. What's that Metallica record?
Which one? Saint Anger.
Ride the Lightning.
No. The one that's 30 years old. Pastor of Muppets.
Good.
Yeah. That's it. So ESP have announced an ESP LTD Master of Puppets 30th anniversary.
They did that with the other one.
They've done all the other ones.
Yes, of course they have.
They did.
Yeah, and wait, every single model
Ride the
sold out.
Was that first?
Yeah, Ride the Lightning
and then Justice for All. Right. I don't know if they did a Justice for All one. They definitely did Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, they've done one for all of them. Okay. Yeah. And they've done this one. So same format. It's just the standard ESP Superstrat with the front cover on it. But of course, the last two ones, they all sold out. They were all £1,000 despite being an LTD model, and they all sold out completely.
Yeah.
On pre-orders.
Yeah.
And then worldwide before they came out.
So long to come in, and they kept getting delayed. People were not happy about the delays.
Yeah, exactly. I remember all this. So ESP have done it again with this.
Yeah.
They haven't even announced a price for these yet.
Right. And they've already sold out.
They've announced that they're doing them.
People are just taking sacks of money to shops and going, well, look, whatever it costs. Just give me the money back.
Well,
I'll pay over the odds.
They're going to be okay, aren't they? They're going to be £1,000.
Yeah,
the same as the other ones. But seriously, if you're into that, if you've got any of the others and that you want to collect this one to add to it, or if you're just into that and want one, keep an eye out on websites that are stocking that guitar already.
Got to catch them all.
Got to catch them all.
As they say.
Matt's dying.
Funny, I think.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Excellent bit of breaking news. Didn't have that on the list. We are this is literally the first people will hear of that.
Well, it came out today. This was on the internet. ESP said that they were doing this today.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. Good to know we've not upset anyone.
Well, I mean, they haven't told anyone publicly.
Joe, do the questions.
Question.
Jay, have we got any questions from Amplify?
There is a question here.
Okay, cool.
From Drumming for Jesus.
Okay.
So now, what camera are we using?
We are using Logitech.
It's a Logitech, isn't it? Yeah.
Shall I have a look? Something. I can look here by clicking a thing. No, I can't. This is horrible. Don't do that. I don't know. Anyway, this isn't good radio. It's a Logitech camera. If you go onto Amazon, it's like the highest rated one. It's about £50. And this is relevant not only to the stream, but for people that are doing guitar stuff, because I know a lot of people in the Facebook group record
lessons,
videos and
demos,
stuff.
Things like that. This is a great, reasonable, or you know, way to do that.
Totally. And obviously, you know, Facebook Live and things like that, if you want to do things in the Facebook group, make sure you interact with people a bit first before you get in there and do live videos and stuff. Or if you want to join Amplify as well. Also, this platform is open to anyone who wants to do this sort of thing. This would be like an ideal camera to get. And tonight it seems to be working okay, although we've had some streaming issues.
But
it seems the camera is not the problem. So
no,
that's all good.
All.
Should we take a question from Dylan?
We should. So this is from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/
Guitar Nerds Forum.
I know, it's just 1 week of hosting.
You're not hosting this week, mate.
Should we take a question from Dan? I'm talking about the camera, Joe.
I'm just trying to guide you, you know. Okay. You seem like you were getting lost.
No, I'm just talking about the camera. Mark,
how many embargoes have you broken today?
I actually broke one yesterday, but let's not talk about it, because I didn't tell you guys. It was a bit of an accident. Best not talk about it. Okay. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Dylan says,
hey guys.
No, this is too long for you to do this. Hey guys, I'm looking for a decent gig ready head and cab suitable for bar shows and nightclubs, small to medium venue. I need something with a great hot rod overdrive as I play primarily metal and heavier music, but something that won't also be crazy expensive. I've looked into a PV6505 or Marshall Code 100. Anyone have experience with those amps or know something better? Also, I've basically no experience with tube amps or combining heads and cabs. My only amps have been solid state practice gear below 50 watts. Thanks for any advice / help. Now, before Joe slates one of the amps mentioned, let's steer clear of what isn't going to work and let's talk about some really good setups for that kind of rig. Jay, earlier you mentioned the Valve King head.
Yeah.
But they've kind of been superseded, haven't they? Because the price of all the other stuff PV are making has come down a bit to get into that kind of ballpark.
Well, wasn't the Valve King... The Valve King was only ever about £400,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for me, the one that sticks out immediately, and I know I'm boring, and I just keep going on about it, the Orange CR range.
Yep.
Yeah, the Orange Crush range is good.
The Orange CR60 or CR120.
If we're on the PV range, let's not forget the PV have released a... Do you remember what it's called, Matt? The mini version of the 6505?
The 6505 Mini.
Mini, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right, fine. So they have released a very reasonable price version of the 6505 Mini. They've also released... What's the other PV mini amp?
The Classic 20 Mini?
The Classic 20, which has actually got a ridiculous amount of gain.
Right.
And in fact, actually, almost a better choice if you want nicer, clean sounds. Because actually, the Classic 20 does really good cleans, but like I said, it's got a ridiculous amount of gain in it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And not a lot of money. And cab range, did they do a cab range to go with them? Like a Mini 212?
No, they do a Mini Classic, and they do... Do they do a Mini Valve King?
I don't think they do, actually.
No.
I might be wrong on that one.
So our advice would be, if you want something fairly versatile and definitely want a head and cab, you don't want it to be too big, you don't want to spend a huge amount of money, but you want plenty of volume and plenty of features.
And you want to be able to, record direct out.
Totally. USB out as well, I believe. Classic 20 Mini by PV, I think, every time.
Really great amps. They came... After you.
Oh, I was going to say, the other one worth mentioning, especially if you want heavier metal sounds, 5150 Mini, the EVH, would be one to have a look at.
I mean, on that note, shouldn't we be mentioning things like the Laney Ironheart?
No.
The IRT 30 Studio.
5150 Mini. Yeah.
Mate,
came into like our top 20 products of two years ago.
The PV Classic came in the top 10
last year.
Yeah. But no, I do agree. The IRT head is great, and it's very light as well, which makes a huge amount of difference.
Yeah, but that's also super versatile.
Absolutely,
you've got direct recording
and
simulation.
A lot more versatile than I think any of us expected it to be at any point.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago, Mark and I went to Laney, and we went to Laney, and we were having a look at the Pulse?
IRT Pulse.
The IRT Pulse. And I remember the guy demoing it was like really enthusiastic, and me and Mark were just like, this is going to be so rubbish. I don't care about this whatsoever. And after maybe 5 minutes, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is a great piece of kit. Yeah. So that whole range, the whole IRT range is, even if you're not into, metal and you're not into like high gain stuff in general, I still think it's worth looking at because of the functionality of everything. You know, it's so well thought out. I think that the IRT range is maybe one of the first, real sort of what was that cab that you had, Matty?
The IRTX.
Oh,
it was such a great idea.
They made so much stuff.
It wasn't a cab, was it? It was a combo, wasn't it?
It was like an active speaker, wasn't it?
It was a, it's an FRFR speaker, so range.
An FRFR speaker?
Yeah. It was...
Full range, flat response, or flat response, full range.
It was just the whole range, the whole IRT range was designed specifically for people who want, well, not specifically, but like it catered exactly to the needs of people who want to record guitar at home and like maybe put it on the internet or want to be able to play quietly but with still like a really nice valve sound. That whole range is brilliant, and I don't think we talk about it enough.
No, and the thing, actually, the crucial thing, if Dylan's talking about wanting a sort of head and cab but playing metal, depending on the sort of metal that it is, if you need that really super clinical sound, then things like Delaney IRT actually have amp sim on them. So they're designed so that you can just put them through the front of house.
Yep.
And not have a cab at all. You can actually survive completely on the head.
Definitely.
And it means you can get some great metal sounds.
You can do a variety of gigs without too much hassle.
I really think they're really great, especially like if metal's all you want to do on them, then I think that they are the most affordable way you can do that.
So we're getting close to the end of the podcast. If we had to sum up one amp that we think Dylan should buy, what would it be? Matt Knight, what would be yours?
I would go for... Actually, I'll probably go for the 6505 Mini. I think that'd probably be the most first option.
J Cross.
The Orange CR120 head and cab.
Joe Branton.
There's not a cab. Do you just mean like an open back 212?
Yeah,
open
back 212.
I would go, Laney IRT Studio.
And I'm going to go for the PV5150 Mini, meaning that the 5150 Mini... is the winner.
You're wrong.
Very good.
Love the competition.
Thanks for joining us. If you've been watching this live this week, you can watch us live every Tuesday night, 8:30 UK time on ampli.fi/guitar nerds. Remember, if you're still watching the stream, we're about to wrap this up. It is my birthday. Feel free to drop us a donation. We'll get munsies. It'll be better birthday for me. But there's other ways to support the podcast as well. You can go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, and for as little as $5 a month you can get extra half an hour off Guitar Nerds content, and for $10 a month you can become one of our executive exclusive Patreon backers and have your name read out thusly. Come on, Joe Branton, quickly.
I'm waiting for the music. Blair Toms, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, Mark Rice, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Mo Gravett, Colin Anderson!
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Thanks for joining us this week. Thank you very much. If you want to get involved, wish me happy birthday over on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Joe is harassing me. Or you can join us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds, and on Instagram you can see the guff that Matt is posting at Guitar Nerds. You can follow us individually. I'm Matt. I'm not Matt. I'm Mark_random. Joe is Joseph_900. Jay is JAYBM1, and Matt Knight is Matt_Nightsy. Let's go before Joe Branton harasses me anymore. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks.
See you
friends.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.